Our text is Psalm 35, verses 1 to 10. A psalm of David. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his destruction. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. The poor and needy from him who robs him. Now once again in the psalm we find that David is being hounded by Saul and his army, and he's also being slandered by Saul's men. And we must remember that many of these people had been David's friends earlier. Now they were with Saul and they were hunting for David. They were hunting and hounding David. David was pressing on to doing God's will. He was pressing on in doing God's will. He was God's chosen king. But Saul was trying to destroy David so that one of his own sons would become king. Saul had become paranoid. Instead of managing the affairs of the kingdom, Saul was mad after pursuing David and seeking to kill him. And this zeal to kill David was fueled by the lies of Saul's officers. During one of Saul's pursuits, David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he did not. He spares his life and then he tells Saul, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 24 verses 9 to 10. 1 Samuel 24 verses 9 to 10. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, behold, David seeks your harm. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Another time, David could have speared Saul to death, but he did not. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 12. So David took the spear and the jar of water from Saul's head, and they went away. No man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. After that, we find David calling out to the people. David called to the people and to Abner. 1 Samuel 26 verses 13 to 15. 1 Samuel 26 verses 13 to 15. Then David went over to the other side and stood far off on the top of the hill with a great space between them. And David called to the army and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, will you not answer Abner? Then Abner answered, who are you who calls to the king? And David said to Abner, are you not a man? Who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not kept watch over your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy the king, your lord. 1 Samuel 26 verses 17 to 19. Saul recognized David's voice and said, is this your voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, why does my lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? What evil is on my hands? Now therefore, let my lord the king hear the words of this servant. If it is the Lord who has stirred you up against me, may he accept an offering. But if it is men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day that I should have no share in the heritage of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. David was driven out of the land, and he could no more worship the Lord in his own homeland, Israel. It was equal to saying, go serve other gods. Psalm 35 is an imprecatory psalm. Now we have dealt with imprecatory psalms earlier. Psalm 5 was an imprecatory psalm and so was Psalm 12. Then we will come to Psalm 37, Psalm 58, Psalm 59, Psalm 69, 79, 83, 109, 139, 140. All these psalms are what is called imprecatory psalms. These are imprecatory psalms. The writers of these psalms describe a God of wrath who can hardly wait to destroy sinners. The writers also seem to picture themselves as people seeking terrible revenge against these enemies. Now we must remember that these psalmists are not pagan brutes who cannot forgive people. Neither is God a sadist or a bully. These enemies described are rebels. They are rebels against the Lord. Psalm 5 and verse 10. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. In some instances, they have also rebelled against the Lord's anointed king. Remember, the Jews were a covenant people. God had made covenants with the Jews, his people. So the Jews were a covenant people whom the Lord promised to protect as long as they obeyed him. And we see the Lord's promise, the promise of protection, the promise of provision for the Jews. We find it in Leviticus chapter 26 and again in Deuteronomy chapters 27 to 29. We see how God promised to protect and provide for his people if they would just obey him. So if they would obey God's holy law, God promised protection and provision. When they disobeyed, they were chastised, they were punished. In fact, they were even driven out of their land. So in his covenant with Abraham, God promised to bless those who bless Israel and to curse those who cursed Israel. Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So when the Jews were asking God to deal justly with their wicked enemies, they were only asking God to fulfill his own covenant promises to them. God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Again in 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But we must remember, God is also light. Not only is God love, he is also light. Therefore, he must deal with sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. Light means purity. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we find imprecations. We find imprecations in the Bible. There are passages other than the Psalms. We find imprecations in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 11 verses 18 following. Those verses, if you read, you will find imprecations there. Jeremiah 18 verses 19 following. Then Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 11 following. We find imprecations also in the New Testament. We find imprecations in the preaching of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. And also in the preaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 23. Then we find imprecations in the requests of the martyrs in Revelation chapter 6 verses 9 to 11. You see, God has his time for judgment. And he will judge those who do not repent. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, and he is the righteous judge. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 5 to 9 we read, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 5 to 9, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. This judgment is reserved for the rebels and the wicked who reject the love of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ through the gospel. It is not in our hands to judge. It is God who will judge. But we have a problem today. We do not hate sin enough to get upset at the wickedness and ungodliness around us. One of the reasons is because the media bombards us with so much of evil and violence, we seem to have gotten accustomed to darkness and become callous about the fact that God is a righteous judge. In Psalm 35, we find David making three requests to God, and God eventually grants those requests. Three requests that David makes to God. Number one, protect me. He asked God to protect him, verses 1 to 10, and that's our text for this evening. Then he says, reward me, Psalm 35 verses 11 to 18. And then he says, vindicate me, Psalm 35 verses 19 to 28. Protect me. In verses 1 to 10, we find David combines two images. He combines two images in verse 1, Psalm 35 verse 1, Psalm of David. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. If you read the King James Version, I'll read the King James Version to you. Psalm 35 verse 1. A psalm of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. So you find here that David is merging the images of a law court. He says, plead my cause. So you find the image of a law court. And then you find the image of the battlefield. Fight against them that fight against me. So a law court and the battlefield. Both these images are merged in verse 1. Again, Psalm 43 verse 1. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause. You see the law court there. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me. The battlefield. Defend me. Deliver me. Defend my cause, deliver me. So you find the image of the law court and the battlefield. And this is very important for us today as believers to grasp, because we are in a spiritual battle against the real enemy. The real enemy, capitally, okay, not the person who's standing in front of you, who's fighting against you. The real enemy that we fight is not the people that we are seeing in front of our eyes who come against us. The real enemy are the demonic forces that are behind these people. And this enemy is a formidable force. The battle we fight is in the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 12 to 13. That is why we need to consider what this law court is. We are battling in the heavenly realms in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 12 to 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I've said this so many times, the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. I repeat again, the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. We fight this battle in the heavenly realms against the demonic spirit, against the demonic spirit world in prayer. Now King Saul chose the physical battlefield, but David turned to the Lord and asked him. He asked the Lord to be an advocate and judge in this battle, in this dispute. The battle, therefore, is always won in the courts of heaven, and then it is manifested in the physical realm. Therefore, we must learn to battle in the spiritual realm in prayer. This is very, very important. Exodus chapter 15 verse 3. Exodus chapter 15 verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Psalm 24 verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. You see, the Lord is a man of war. Mighty in battle. Psalm 45 verses 3 to 5. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. In your splendor and majesty, in your majesty ride victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Now it's very interesting when you read the Old Testament also, you'll find all of the wars that Israel fought. When they acknowledged the Lord fought their battles for them. And the Lord showed Joshua how battles are fought in the heavenly realms. Before the victory is manifested on earth, the Lord actually showed Joshua how this battle is won. Joshua chapter 5 verses 13 to 15. Joshua chapter 5 verses 13 to 15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. And this person accepts worship. So who is he? The Lord himself. "I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Then the Lord goes on to tell Joshua how the battle is to be fought against Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor." So, if King Saul wanted to fight God's anointed one, if King Saul wanted to fight God's anointed one, who is David, would accept the challenge. Psalm 18 verses 25 to 27. "With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you show yourself pure. And with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down." David is a soldier himself, and he envisages the Lord dressed in armor and wielding his weapons. That's what you see in Psalm 35 verses 1 to 3. David envisages the Lord dressed in armor and wielding his weapons. Psalm 35 verses 1 to 3. "Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation." Now this buckler was a large shield that covered most of the body. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, when we read about spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 downwards, you read there, you will find the shield of faith. Ephesians 6 verse 16. "In all circumstances," Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." The shield of faith. This is the buckler. In every circumstance in life, we must remain behind the shield of faith. In Greek, the word is thureos. And thureos means, it's actually a long, it is an oblong shield, a large oblong shield, like a door made of wood, and it is covered with hides. And the flaming darts of the enemy, it is actually wet. So the flaming darts of the enemy is blocked by the shield. It is a large shield. The Lord Jesus himself is our shield. In Psalm 33 verse 20, Psalm 33 verse 20, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." In every circumstance in life, we put our trust in him, and we must not lean on our own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. The enemy hated David. Psalm 35 verse 19. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those wink the eye who hate me without cause. Not only did the enemy hate David, the enemy lied about David. Psalm 35 verse 11. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. The enemy persecuted David, hated David, lied about David, persecuted David. Psalm 35 verse 3. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. The enemy wanted to hurt David and to kill him. Psalm 35 verse 4. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Again in verse 26, Psalm 35 verse 26. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. So the conflict was a matter of life and death. But there was no just cause for this opposition. Psalm 35 verse 7. Psalm 35 verse 7. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Again in verse 19, Psalm 35 verse 19. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those wink with the eye who hate me without cause. Psalm 38 verse 19. But my foes are vigorous, they are mighty, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. So David asked the Lord to block the way and stand between him and Saul's army. Stand between him and the enemy. And that's what God does for us when we seek the Lord in prayer. Psalm 35 verse 3. I read from the King James Version. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You know, David was asking for something like what happened in the Exodus. Remember, in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 20. Exodus 14, 19 to 20. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood between them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then we find David asked that the angel of the Lord would confuse the enemy, to stop the way against him, and also to confuse the enemy. Turn them around, chase them. That's what he's saying. Psalm 35 verse 4. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. So he's praying that God will put confusion into the enemy's camp. Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now this deliverance would ultimately lead to the disgrace and the defeat and the destruction of the enemy. Psalm 35 verse 8. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his destruction. Remember, I've said earlier, sin is its own executioner. Sin is its own executioner. So he prays, let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it. Verse 26, David repeats the prayer of verse 4 actually, in verse 26, Psalm 35 verse 26. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. David frequently mentions that he was a man with a price on his head. Psalm 37 verse 32, the wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. Psalm 38 verse 12. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. Psalm 40 verse 14. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. You see, they wanted his life. Psalm 54 verse 3. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Psalm 63 verse 9. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. Psalm 70 verse 2. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. So they were wanting his head. They were wanting to kill him. No wonder David asked the Lord for a special word of assurance. He asked God for a special word of assurance. Psalm 35 verse 3. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Psalm 27 verses 1 to 3. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Saul was confronted by God's heavenly army, and therefore his people became like chaff, weightless, worthless, defenseless, harmless. Psalm 35 verse 5. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Psalm 1 verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Psalm 83 verse 13. Oh my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. Isaiah chapter 17 verse 13. The nations roar like the roaring of many waters, but he will rebuke them and they will flee far away, chased like chaff on the mountains before the wind and whirling dust before the storm. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, John the Baptizer says in Matthew chapter 3 verses 11 to 12, Matthew chapter 3 verses 11 to 12, John is speaking about the Messiah, speaking about the Lord Jesus. Matthew 3 verses 11 to 12. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Saul and his men would try to run on the slippery mountains. On the slippery mountain trails, they would try to run, and in the darkness, they would fall into their own traps. That's what we see. Psalm 35 verses 6 to 8. Psalm 35 verses 6 to 8. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it, and let the net that he hid ensnare him, let him fall into it to his destruction. Now these traps, these nets were probably pits that were dug with the nets over them and covered with branches and leaves. It was a trap. So many traps like that, and they fell into their own traps. They fell into their own traps. Saul treated David like an animal. But it was Saul and his army that were behaving like wild beasts. Psalm 35 verse 15. But at my stumbling they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing. Psalm 35 verse 17. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction. My precious life from the lions. My precious life from the lions. Psalm 35 verse 25. Let them not say in their hearts, aha, our heart's desire. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must cast all our cares on the Lord Jesus. He is our shield, our protector, and our provider. So we need not fear the enemy at all. Because the Lord fights our battles, and we stand today on victory ground because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, let us not fear. Let us press on in the battlefield in victory. Remember, because you are in Christ, you are standing on victory ground. And you fight from victory, not for victory. Psalm 35 verse 9. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in His salvation. This is David's glad response to God's gracious deliverance from his enemies. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in His salvation. David was in trouble. His enemies were accusing him. They were lying about him. They wanted to kill him. But what did he do? What did he do? How did he respond? He prayed. He prayed. You see, our first reaction to false accusations is to fight back. We want to fight back and defend our name and protect our reputation. But David was far more concerned about his character than his reputation. He knew that if he was right with God, it made no difference what people did to him or said about him. So he started with prayer. That's why in Psalm 35 verse 1 we read, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me." When the enemy fights against you, he's actually fighting against the Lord. When the enemy is fighting against you, he's actually fighting against the Lord. That's a very important fact to remember. When the child of God is in the will of God, he can claim the help and protection of the Father. David started with prayer and he admitted his own helplessness. Psalm 35 verse 10. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him. Our enemies are too strong for us. We have to turn them over to the Lord. David trusted God to work on his behalf. And God worked on his behalf. God will work on your behalf today too. He will do so in his time and in his way. He will accomplish what needs to be done. What must you do? How do you fight this battle? You fight this battle against the enemy in prayer. And when the day comes to an end, or whenever the opportunity might arise, you will say, like David, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." Psalm 35 verse 9. It is not your salvation, it is His salvation. That means it is not based on what you have done for yourself, but on what God has done for you. Salvation belongs to God. Remember that. He has raised us up in Christ. And we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 5 to 6. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him. And seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, we are standing on victory ground. And we fight from victory and not for victory. The Lord has already fought our battles for us. He crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. He came to destroy the works of darkness. He put to public shame those principalities and powers in His death on the cross. So when dealing with your enemies, your first response, you see, often your first response is to react. Instead of acting positively, you react. Your best response is to pray. As God's child, you can turn your enemies over to Him and claim His help and protection. Is the enemy attacking you? Give your burden over to the Lord and He will work on your behalf. I trust that today you will have the joy of his victory in your life. He will bless you with his shalom. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?